And now, meet the press. Today's guests, Edward M. Kennedy and George Cabot Lodge, in separate interviews. Mr. Kennedy, a Democrat, and Mr. Lodge, a Republican, are running for United States Senator from Massachusetts. Our panel consists of Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press, Irwin Canham of the Christian Science Monitor, John Steele of Time and Life magazine, and Edwin Newman of NBC News. Ned Brooks is our moderator.
Meet the Press comes to you today from Boston. Our guests are competing in the Senate contest, which has attracted the greatest national attention. They are Edward M. Kennedy, the Democratic nominee here in Massachusetts, and George Cabot Lodge, the Republican nominee. The order of their appearance was determined a few moments ago by the toss of a coin. Members of the panel interviewing our guests today are Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the panel, Irwin Canham of the Christian Science Monitor, John Steele of Time and Life magazines, and Edwin Newman of NBC News. We'll first interview Mr. Kennedy, and we'll start the questions with Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Kennedy, in a speech he made recently, George Lodge, your opponent, said this: "As a U.S. Senator, I promise you independent judgment. My views will be my own. They will be neither familial, nor political, nor partisan." In view of your relationship to the president, your critics say that you cannot make or keep that kind of a vow.
Well, Mr. Spivak,
what's your answer to that?
Mr. Spivak, I want to make my position extremely clear that my decisions in the United States Senate will be based upon my own belief of what I think is in the best interest of the state, the best interest of the nation, and in the dictates of my conscience. I have disagreed with the president before. I imagine I'll disagree with him in the future. But upon this will be made my determinations about the questions affecting both the state and the nation.
You feel you would not be committed to vote for a bill simply because the president was for it?
Well, Mr. Spivak, we realize that people who are charged with the responsibility of the program, majority leaders in some instances, in the United States Senate, have found administration's program in direct contrast to the interests that they have believed in their state. And these people who do have the responsibility have not found it embarrassing when they voted against the administration. And I believe that I would certainly vote the dictates of my conscience with regards to the interests of Massachusetts, and I don't believe that that would be embarrassing either.
Mr. Canham.
As you know, Mr. Kennedy, there's a new law in Massachusetts requiring full disclosure of campaign costs during the campaign. Do you think that your returns under this law have provided an accurate picture of exactly what the campaign has cost you, campaign has cost?
Yes, I do, Mr. Canham, as we realize that Massachusetts probably has one of the most comprehensive disclosure laws of any state in the nation. And I do believe that it has revealed my expenditures and receipts, certainly to date. We realize that in bringing this campaign, which has been a hard-fought campaign, both at the convention and the primary, that it has been an extremely vigorous kind of campaign. But I think in bringing the program which I support, to the people of Massachusetts, has been extensive. But I believe that the filings, which have been a public record to the Secretary of State, does reveal all that is required under the law.
Do I recall correctly that your returns are a little over $100,000, something of that order of magnitude? Is that really all it costs to run for senator from Massachusetts?
No, I believe that the last filing date is my understanding of the disclosure law that filings are the 1st and the 15th of the month. And my last filing showed us considerably above that, Mr. Canham. But we have complied. The Treasurer has complied.
Mr. Steele.
Mr. Kennedy, had you been sitting in the Senate this year, referring to Mr. Spivak's question, is there any issue upon which you would have broken with the president or voted against his position?
Well, I recognize, Mr. Steele, a distinction responsibility between that the president has and that I would have as a senator from Massachusetts if elected. He has a national responsibility, and I, if elected, would be a spokesman for Massachusetts and from Massachusetts. For example, I would have supported the Trade Expansion Act. But I realize that one of our traditional industries is the shoe and leather industry, which a great number of our people depend on. And therefore, I would have supported the kind of restrictions which Senator Muskie has advanced, which I believe would restrict the total number of shoes coming into Massachusetts and into the nation. There is a distinction in this responsibility. There are other areas as well. But I think this shows the distinction. I would have supported the trade expansion, but in this area, I would have differed from my responsibility to what the president might have wanted.
Mr. Kennedy, on another specific issue, if elected to the Senate, would you support a public a school construction bill limited in use to public schools, or would you prefer to have a bill which included also private and parochial schools?
Well, if it was used for non-religious purposes, I would support to non-public schools.
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Kennedy, what do you mean when you say about yourself he can do more for Massachusetts?
Well, Mr. Newman, I believe that my program and the program that I support and run on is the program which really meets the needs of the people in Massachusetts. The program for health care for our senior citizens, the program for urban renewal, retraining of our workers, is of desperate need in Massachusetts as it is in many parts of our nation. And I believe that someone that will support this program, if he's a Democrat certainly, can do more for Massachusetts because I believe these programs do more for Massachusetts.
I think that slogan has been taken, has it not, to mean that you can do more for Massachusetts because of your relationship with the president. Is it meant to imply that at all?
Well, if it's been interpreted this way, it's been misinterpreted. I have, in my whole campaign, have stressed this point, and this was certainly why I indicated during the primary that I would support a Democrat, because I believe a Democrat can do more for Massachusetts. We realize that in the Congress and the Senate, controlled by the majority party, the Democratic Party, and I think it is helpful to have in the majority party a voice from Massachusetts.
Mr. Spivak.
Well, Mr. Kennedy, would you or would you not use your influence with the president to get something done for Massachusetts if it were in the interests of Massachusetts?
Now, I would certainly not expect the president, who has a responsibility for some 50 states, certainly he would not expect, nor would I ever ask for any consideration, any special consideration. He has a responsibility. He cannot favor any representative now, and certainly do not expect that he would do so in the future, nor would I ask for it.
Mr. Kennedy, there's an article in Look in the November 6th issue, and it says that you've done irreparable damage to the president's prestige. Do you think your candidacy has had any effect at all on the president's prestige?
Well, all of I've asked, Mr. Spivak, is to be judged. I certainly think that there'll be some that have not looked upon favor of my candidacy, but all I'm asking is that I be judged on my own ability and the ability in which I would represent and affect a program for our state. And I would certainly be confident that many of the cynics would minds would be changed.
You yourself feel that it has had no effect at all on his prestige?
Well, Mr. Spivak, I feel that the issues which we have brought up to bear, the primary, the convention as well, the people of our state have made this determination themselves, and I feel there has been none.
If you win this election, are you certain to run again in 64 when the president himself will be a candidate?
Well, I'm just worrying about the election, Mr. Spivak. This is the important, what we're directing our attention to.
That wasn't the question, Mr. Kennedy.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't thought beyond November 6th, Mr. Spivak, but I certainly, if successful, would be, I'm sure, would be run again.
Mr. Cannell.
Mr. Kennedy, do you think that the Cuban crisis has had any effect on the campaign in Massachusetts and the likely voting?
No, I do not, Mr. Canham. I believe that the support that my opponent, Mr. Lodge, has and myself have given to the president's action, the bipartisan support that it's received throughout the nation, the fact that it has received the support, really, of former presidents Eisenhower and Hoover, as well as Mr. Truman, indicate that the Cuban question, which is, of course, the outstanding national crisis, I believe, has been taken out of the context of this election.
Mr. Steele.
I want to try to clarify a little more your attitude on school construction. Do I understand that you would oppose a bill which limited school construction funds solely to public schools, or is that not the case? You would support it and try to amend it?
No, I would have supported the legislation that was before the Congress and Senate this past session, Mr. Steele. I've indicated my opposition to across-the-boards unrestricted loans and grants, but I would support to non-public schools for non-religious purposes, which has been the instance in many cases in the past, the building of gymnasium, language centers, science buildings, physical fitness facilities.
This may be a breach of personal confidences, but what advice is Attorney General Bob Kennedy giving you these days about the race here?
Oh, well, of course, there interested as brothers, but we've indicated, of course, from the very start of the campaign, Mr. Steele, that in the early days of March, that they would not participate in this campaign. They have not participated in this campaign.
Are you talking now and then about it, though, over the telephone? Are they following it closely?
Oh, well, if they've got a, certainly the, I believe that the president, of course, has an interest because he's an interest in the winning the majority support for his program. But he has, of course, not participated in this campaign. I'll appreciate their votes at election time.
But they're not planning the strategy for the campaign or helping you with campaign decisions that must be made?
No, Mr. Steele.
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Kennedy, you said before that you thought you could do more for Massachusetts because, as you said, Massachusetts should have a voice in the majority party. Does that mean that you believe that states should elect only Democrats in this election?
Well, in this election, I'd probably have to give a... I think it's absolutely essential in this election that we have the supporters for the extremely meaningful programs which are so necessary, I believe, to our nation's future.
But if there were a Republican president, would you then think that all states should elect Republican senators?
Oh, well, I disagree with the Republican. This is the basic issue that I believe is before the people, Republican philosophy versus Democratic philosophy.
It isn't a question of which party's in the majority.
No, it's the meaningful, the urgency that is needed for the health care for our population here in Massachusetts, which runs as high as 11%, urban affairs in the cabinet, 85% of our people live in the cities, and the retraining, because of so many jobs have been lost through automation and movement of industries to other parts of the country.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Kennedy, the article in Look to which I referred a minute ago asked this question: why did President Kennedy let his younger brother run for the Senate? Now, you probably know the answer to that better than Look does. Will you tell us what the answer is?
Well, Mr. Spivak, I made the decision for my candidacy, and it was only me that made this decision.
The article says that a poll was taken, and the poll revealed that you were the only candidate who could lick a Republican, George Cabot Lodge, and that when you did that, when that poll came out, the decision was then made by the president to let you run. Is there any truth at all in that?
Well, there is, Mr. Spivak. I made the decision to run. It's because the reason that I'm running is because I do feel that it is of such necessity that these programs and these other programs which I've talked about in this campaign are initiated. I think that they're needed here in our state. I think we've got great opportunity for the development and growth in Massachusetts, which is evident throughout the country, and I think we need these programs. And this was the determination, Mr. Spivak, and it was a determination made by myself as far as my candidacy to run this year.
Gentlemen, we've now reached the halfway point in our program. Thank you very much, Mr. Kennedy, for being with us. You have just heard our interview with Mr. Edward M. Kennedy, the Democratic candidate for the United States Senate from Massachusetts. We'll hear now from Mr. George Cabot Lodge, the Republican nominee, and we'll start the questions with Mr. Canham.
Mr. Lodge, just about every political observer that I know thinks that Mr. Kennedy is going to win this election. On what grounds do you disagree? I assume perhaps you do disagree.
I do indeed, Mr. Canham. As a matter of fact, every newspaper, every magazine, every commentator, every so-called political expert in the business has said that I'm the underdog. There hasn't been such agreement among these people since Harry Truman was counted out in 1948. Now, the reason for this is hard to detect, but it's there. Certainly, it isn't that I'm not qualified. Even my enemies grant me that. I've had 8 years in government. For 3 years, I was Assistant Secretary of Labor for International Affairs under both President Eisenhower and President Kennedy. I am trained. I have a record of effectiveness, which can be seen. It isn't because I haven't spoken out on the issues I have on medical care for the aged, on unemployment, on the problems that beset this state. I've challenged anyone who cared to debate me to meet me in argument. My opponent has consistently refused to meet me in argument and in debate. The reason is quite simple, and that's because I'm running against the brother of the president. Now, I believe the experts are wrong, because I think that the president himself clarified the issue in this Senate race better than anyone could have the other night when he appeared on television and made us aware of the dangerous times in which we live, and made us all aware that we need in the Senate of the United States men of training, men who have a proven record of effectiveness, men who understand this world, men who have been involved in the Cold War, have been involved in dealing with the communists as I have, and men who are known quantities.
Mr. Kennedy, I asked Mr. Kennedy a moment ago about the costs of his campaign and the report and the disclosure of these. What is your comment on what it costs to run for the Senate in Massachusetts, and does the law work, and does the public know exactly what's happening about campaign expenditures?
Well, my comment is that it's extremely expensive. I can assure you that the reports which I have submitted are fully accurate in every detail. I must say, as I have read accounts of this situation, I have been impressed that some candidates appear to me to be spending a good deal more than their reports would show.
Mr. Steele.
Mr. Lodge, if I understand you correctly, that's a pretty serious charge. Your inference is that Mr. Kennedy is spending more than his reports show. Are you prepared to state that, and have you any proof of it?
I have no proof.
Mr. Lodge, had you been in the Senate this year, would you have voted for or against the President's program for medical care for the aged under the Social Security system?
I favor medical care for the aged, financed by Social Security, but I believe that the benefits should come back to the individual, giving the individual as much freedom of choice as possible. I mean, he should be able to take them through Social Security or through a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, any legitimate private plan he may desire. I also feel that the administration bill is too restrictive in that it provides that the benefits can be used only for hospital bills, and some of the most burdensome costs for older people are drug bills and nursing care. So I think we can improve the administration's bill and make it a better bill.
Mr. Lodge, if you had been there this year, would you have voted for or against it?
The bill that came before the Senate was a compromise bill which went a good deal of the way towards the kind of a bill which I would like to have seen. I would have sought to have made it better along the lines that I'm speaking. I would have sought to increase the freedom of the individual to choose under it. Now, if the bill, as it was, had come before me, I probably would have voted for it.
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Lodge, Citizens for Lodge has run an advertisement in the Wall Street Journal, possibly elsewhere, saying it takes money to run against a Kennedy, and saying the Kennedy people have virtually limitless resources. This advertisement asks for contributions. Now, what is the meaning of this? You are implying in this, you say flatly in this, that there is heavy Kennedy spending. Are you saying that the Kennedy campaign is costing more than the Lodge campaign?
Oh, I suspect, I haven't totaled it up, but I suspect my opponent's spending a good deal more than I am. He's had a great many billboards up for a long, long time. I think I have a total of four.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is, are you suggesting that he is spending more money than he should be spending?
No, that's up to him. If he's got it, he can spend
within
it.
Within the law, is he spending
There's
more
no
than he
There's no limit in the law.
Spending?
The law
is a reporting
it
law.
It puts no ceiling on how much you can spend.
Do you intend to maintain your interest in what is reported after the election is concluded?
I may. I don't know.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Lodge, as I understand it, you say now that you would have voted for the Medicare bill that was in the before the Senate if you had been there?
Yeah, I would have
Isn't that
tried.
A change in your position?
No. I would have tried to have improved this bill so that we could have made it a better bill, so that, for example, the 3 million people who are not covered by Social Security would be included under the plan. Now, we have a fresh start in this whole area. And we may be able to get a better bill than has been considered yet. What I'm saying here is, and this is part of the issue in this campaign, is that we need a senator in Washington from this state who is not tied necessarily to what the administration puts forward. Now, despite what my opponent has said, despite how much he'd like to be an independent voice from this state, I really don't think he can be, because if he disagrees with the administration, he brings an intolerable burden of embarrassment right down on his brother's head. Now, I can disagree when it's necessary in the interest of the people of this state, and I will.
Why could you disagree any more than he could? If you're a Republican, there's a Republican platform, there's a Republican party, Wouldn't you feel bound at all to stick to any of the Republican principles?
Oh, well, you know as well as I that there are Republicans and there are Republicans, as there are Democrats and then Democrats. I'm sure my opponent, for example, doesn't agree with Governor Barnett.
Mr. Cannon.
I asked again about the Cuban crisis. Do you think that this has had any effect on politics in Massachusetts?
Yes, I think it does. I think it has, Mr. Canham. I think it has shown us, as nothing else could, that this is a time when each of the 100 men in the U.S. Senate must be men of qualification, of real qualification, of proven effectiveness. Now, I have told you my experience. It is well known. It is on the record. My opponent's experience is nebulous, to say the least. I cannot tell you about it. I fear it's non-existent. It's very hard to put your finger on.
Well, what do you think of the way the Eisenhower administration handled the Cuban situation?
You can blame the Cuban situation way back to four presidents. Imagine, for example, if 10 years ago, the American companies in Cuba and the American government in Cuba, with all of the vast influence that they had on that island, had used that influence to have tempted or compelled Batista to have put in the kind of reforms, the kind of social justice that formed the basis for Castro's successful revolution, we might have never had Castro. There are all kinds of places you can put the blame for Cuba. Every administration.
Mr. Steele.
Mr. Lodge, if you're elected to the Senate, will you vote for a school construction bill which is limited in the use of the funds to the public schools, or would you require that they be extended to private schools, including parochial schools as well?
No, I would vote if it were limited to public schools.
Do you think it should be limited to public schools?
If you're asking me where do I think aid should go to non-public schools, I think roughly in the same areas as my opponent. I think he and I agree on this issue entirely.
Mr. Lodge, you getting any advice in this campaign from your father, who was a distinguished senator and also a former vice presidential candidate?
No.
Do you talk to him about the campaign, and does he advise you with your strategic decisions that you have to make?
Oh, I talk to him once in a while, but I don't get any advice.
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Lodge, are there any substantive issues in this campaign, or is it just a matter of, so to say, one party against another and one Massachusetts name against another?
Oh, there are real substantive issues. Take, for example, the question of the discrimination that's being practiced against this state by this administration and the allocation of federal work. Let's just take one example. In the space field, we have been ranked third among all the states in the union to do space work, yet we get 1% of the contracts. In this fiscal year, we're getting $30 million worth of space work, while Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia are getting $400 million, $500 million. Now, this is why I want to go to Washington. My opponent can do nothing about this. He'll be hogtied by his relationship to the administration.
Have you any theory about why a president from Massachusetts unnamed Kennedy should be discriminating against his own state?
Yeah, sure. The chairman of the committees are from the South. The powerful people in the Congress with whom he has to deal to get his program through, he pays a high price, and he really hasn't gotten very much in return, actually. But he has to curry favor with these people.
And you would think that a freshman Republican senator from Massachusetts could change that?
Well, he can change it a lot more than a freshman senator who's the president's brother, who cannot possibly embarrass his brother, cannot be expected to. No loyal American would expect him to.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Lodge, the other day in Pittsburgh, General Eisenhower asked his audience this question, which I'd like to ask you. Are you happy or satisfied with these barren products of an administration now in office 21 months? Will you give us your appraisal of the accomplishments of the Kennedy administration to date?
Well, I think they've been, I would say, mediocre. The Trade Act, I was glad to see that passed. I was very disappointed to see the college aid bill defeated. I think the administration put much too little emphasis on the whole question of education. It didn't try hard enough there. I think that the administration's foreign policy, as I say, in Cuba, I support the president 100%. In Vietnam and Laos, however, I feel that a great deal better could have been done. I feel that we could have done better in Berlin. I would say mediocre.
Do you think that, as many Republicans have said, that the New Frontier, as the New Deal and the Fair Deal, has led this country economically down the road toward socialism?
Well, my criticism would be that
we're not going to be able to even start on that. I see that our time is up. Thank you very much, Mr. Lodge, for being with us.
Thank you, Ned Brooks. In just a moment, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this week's Meet the Press interview.
This is Mel Allen, one of your hosts on Weekend Monitor. Here is the voice of a well-known sports figure.
We have some fellas who've been outstanding ball players in our day. I'm talking about fellas like Early Wynn and Enos Lauder and Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio.
Yes, sir. That was Stan Musial, who recently visited the Monitor Sports Desk. But sports is only a part of Monitor. There's music, news, and entertainment. Weekends on NBC Radio.
Now here's a word about blindness. You got a minute? Sit back in your chair, close your eyes. Imagine you're blindfolded. Now think how it might be wearing that blindfold all day long for the rest of your life. Yes, eyes are pretty important. And did you know that at least half of all blindness is completely unnecessary? One of every two cases of blindness can be prevented, according to the National Society for the Prevention of Blindness. So be wise. Take care of your eyes. They take good care of you. Now, when you're doing close work, reading or sewing, for example, take a rest now and then. Look off into the distance or cover your eyes for a minute. And by the way, how long since you've had your eyes checked to see if you might need new glasses or have an eye disease? Right now, the early fall is a very good time to see the eye doctor before the work begins to pile up. If you're interested in getting a free pamphlet on how to care for your eyes, write to National Society for the Prevention of Blindness, Box 426, Radio City Station, New York, 19, New York. Now more details on Meet the Press. Today's guests were Edward Kennedy and George Cabot Lodge, candidates for United States Senator from Massachusetts. The panel consisted of Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press, Irwin Canham of the Christian Science Monitor, John Steele of Time and Life magazine, and Edwin Newman of NBC News. This program was pre-recorded.